In this episode of Bear Podcast, Ray constructs the Taj Mahal of chicken coops.
Game of Thrones crashes HBO Go. There's a Goonies sequel. 13 things you need to know about your gay Asian friend.
And Japan's annual penis festival. All this, plus your emails, coming up next.
Bear Podcast, 513.
Hey, all you bears!
He's texting to bump into Big Hairy Man.
So scientists may have finally solved the puzzle of what makes a person gay.
Well, I'm not taking you to give something to scrub there and fix it for you.
Can I do the podcast in my underwear?
Gay, the geek and the bizarre.
It's one of those things that is funny, cute, light.
That's two glasses of wine.
He's a lightweight, so it don't take much.
You're listening to BearPodcast.com.
Okay, fine. You really have to.
Welcome, everyone, to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I am Ray.
And welcome to episode 513. And it's a Monday, April 7th, 2014.
All right. So how was your weekend, Nard?
It was great.
It was great.
It was fun. It was a lot
What'd
of fun.
What'd you do?
Let me see. I've been posting on Facebook, but also some of my friends did. Some of my other friends. We went to Lake Charles to celebrate Gary's bachelor's party. So.
Yay!
Yay, Gary's bachelor's party. There were strippers, there were 10 strippers. No, I didn't want. There were no strippers.
Were they all muscle boys?
They're all muscle boys.
Nice.
You wish.
I'm jealous, Gary.
No, it was a very clean, you know, just, we're like Charles. It's very wholesome. We went there. We ate at a restaurant. And he just wants seafood. I don't know if it's his first time to eat tuna fish. It was tuna steak.
Uh-huh.
When you serve tuna steak, you don't really cook it all the way. It's still pink inside.
Yeah.
So he was kind of worried that it was, you know, it was raw. It did look too raw, but I know that's the way they usually serve
it. But since it was tuna, you can't get salmonella.
Good God. So. Anyway, so that was amazing seafood restaurant. So that it was suggested to us.
Yeah. Did you gamble?
I didn't. I didn't. Everybody else did.
What?
I plan to, you know, before we go, I'll do cards.
Mm-hmm. Tarot cards?
No, blackjack.
Oh, blackjack. Not homemade.
No. So I wanted to do the blackjack before we left. Because I'm thinking I would just do a sudden death. Here's $50. If I win this, I win double in my head. If I'm not, then I lost. That's pretty much it. 1 minute. Done. Sudden death. I just like, I don't want to, I like watching others play, but then me on it, I was just not in the mood to.
In other words, Maynard's a voyeur.
I'm a voyeur. I'm a voyeur. Like this coming weekend at Drench for I'm a voyeur.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to be a voyeur.
right.
Anyway, so.
I'm sure Maynard will make it into the relaxation room.
That's right. Maybe I'll go there on
you
a
can hand out
Friday
voice,
night.
Voice talent
Sunday.
To people.
And hopefully nobody calls in the middle of it.
Right.
Right. Like 2009, Jeffrey called me while I was in the meditation room just walking around.
Right.
I was walking around and then.
When you go to the meditation room, phones should be off because if you can't get it on Growler, you can get it in the meditation room.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't get it there, you might as well just give up and go home.
Yeah. So we were there for the whole night. They gambled. Oh, we went to a bar there called Crystal.
Yeah.
It's the only gay bar, I think, in Lake Charles.
Okay.
It was so smoky. Oh, my God.
I know. See, that's what I hate about getting out of Houston and going to bars because they don't have the smoke ban in all these other cities. And you go there like.
I know.
When I was in New Orleans for Mardi Gras, I went to the bars a couple times. I'm like, oh, shit, I knew I should have brought my allergy medicine.
Mm-hmm.
But I forgot it. So.
That's really bad. I mean, it's great. The place is great. And there was enough parking, but it's just that smoky. It's very smoky. But it was fun. It was fun. And we got a picture with Gary, with the drag queen. So it was even their first show ever to have a drag queen in the bar.
It wasn't Milk, like here in Houston, Saturday night, was it?
No, it wasn't, no.
Okay.
But it was fun. Got some drinks and everything. We were trying to look for a stripper there, but we couldn't find any.
Oh, there were some. You just had to post it on Craigslist early enough.
Yeah, that's right. You should have posted on Craigslist. Meet us at Crystal at this time.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that was pretty much Saturday night. And they went gambling some more. Mike and I just had to had to crash. I had to go home because I had a softball game in the morning. So I had to drive 2.5 hours just to get back to Houston just to for our first game at 9 o'clock a.m.
That got rained out.
No, it did not.
You did not.
We did play. We did get to play, and we lost both games. No, it was really bad. It was,
see, you should have just stayed in, gambling that night.
Yeah, I should have. I would have stayed if they canceled all the, but they canceled all the games. But it was just really cloudy, and it's not. It's a little bit of drizzle, so it's not really all rained out. So people were able to play some.
Well, that's good.
So
because of being cloudy this weekend, I got a little sunburn Saturday.
Oh, that's right.
Because I was working on the Taj Mahal of chicken coops, people.
We got to flash it on the screen here. Did you take pictures?
Well, I took a picture, but it's not. It was just like the frame up of the chicken coop. But our friends Patrick and Jerry got chickens, and they're building this massive chicken coop in the front yard.
So you made a Taj Mahal of chicken
coops. So I call it the Taj Mahal of chicken coops because it's got like hardy plank siding. The inside's going to be coated with the plastic stuff like they find in restaurants that you can just wipe it down. Uh-huh. They're going to put some kind of special rubber mat in the bottom of it, and it's going to be like so long and so wide, and the chickens can get up under it to get out of the rain, or they can go inside. They got heat lamp. It's just way too much.
I didn't really have an experience in doing this. You've done this before.
Well, I mean, we always had yard chickens, so
you know how
we just had a big pen and a little box for them to go in and lay eggs, but they built like a house for them to go in, and then there's nest and stuff in there. So, I mean, they'd get out and just lay it, find places. You'd go find out where they're nesting and go get the eggs out of the nest around the yard. So we didn't have a big old chicken coop like they're building.
That is so
But out there, the hawks are so bad, they have to put them in a chicken coop or the hawks kill them all. So
yeah.
So that'd be easy prey. So.
The chicken hawks.
So they got 15 chicks that hatched and survived, and we're hoping only one of them's a rooster. So, if they got a bunch of roosters, they're just kind of screwed on the egg laying deal.
So. You know, it's funny. It's dangerous because there are some chicken hawks around there. Yeah. The real kind.
The real kind.
The real kind.
The kind
hawks.
You find, you know, around South Beach.
Around South Beach.
Or Tony's Corner Pocket here in Houston.
So. Uh-huh, that's right.
Our playgrounds with our of our friends.
No, that's different.
So,
like in,
but then, so I worked all day outside doing that, and I was freezing my butt off because all week it was warm in Houston.
It was cold.
And I put shorts on and went up there in my shorts and t-shirt, and it was cold as hell up there on the farm.
Oh, really?
So, but it warmed up after lunch. So I was okay without a jacket, but still.
God, it's like Smallville.
Kind of. So. But Sunday, I went with Robbie and his brother to eat crawfish.
Mm-hmm. You don't like crawfish?
I don't, if they've already been peeled and stuff and they're in something, I'm fine. But like peeling them and sucking them and digging it, that's too much work for me.
That's awesome. I love it. Did you suck the head? Did you try doing it?
No, I don't suck the head on a crawfish.
No?
It's not the kind of head I like to suck.
Oh.
So, but, they sit there and they ate like 16 pounds of them, so.
Mm-hmm. And, 16 pounds. So did you have Robbie open it for you?
No, I didn't eat any. I had hamburger.
Oh, that's lame. You went to a seafood restaurant to eat hamburger.
No, we went to a bar to eat crawfish.
Oh, it's a bar.
Yeah, they thought it was $20 for all you can eat, but it's $20 for 4 pounds.
It's still a lot, though, right?
So it ended up with the beers and my burger and stuff. It was like $130 check.
Wow.
So for eating crawfish. So
that's good.
Too much for me, so.
By the way, so Sunday yesterday after the games, we had the fundraiser.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in some of the pictures here you see, if you guys are watching the video right now, some of the pictures we're flashing right now is from the fundraiser.
That whore let anybody put stuff in his pants.
It's the Wave fundraiser. So I think we raised about $500 or $600, I think, that evening.
Well, that's good.
So, which is good. I mean, I sold tickets. They sold gel shots. Yeah. And
I tried to get Robbie to go out Saturday night to the Bear Beer Bust because they're having it at Bayou City this month.
Okay.
While the Eagles closed and moving to its new location. Mm-hmm. And they also had milk at South Beach. So I said, you know, we ought to go down and go down. I wasn't feeling well by the time 10 o'clock rolled around and his back was hurting. So I was like, welcome to your 40s and going out late at night. At 10 o'clock, it ain't going to happen.
But how about disco naps? Disco naps would help.
Well, disco naps help, but I mean, we've been after I got home, we went and had a really nice dinner at Argentine Steakhouse.
Oh, nice.
So, and then we came home and we were both so full, and then his back was hurting and my stomach wasn't feeling so well. And so it was just like one of those things. And I text Dave, I said, is this, you know, y'all still there? And he said, yeah. And I said, he said, are you going to see ya? And then by that 15 minutes later, I said, nope, looks like we're going to bed at 10:15.
Oh, my God.
So
you go to sleep at 10:15? That's too early for me.
Yeah. So
I was just getting ready for watching something or reading.
Not that night. We were tuckered out. So.
Oh, well.
Do you watch Grimm?
I used to the first okay. Season.
Well, I've been trying to catch up on it because I got behind this season, so I've been watching it on demand. And last night was a Filipino episode.
Oh, that's right. You were asking me something.
The episode's called Mommy Dearest. A gruesome baby-eating Wesson torments members of Portland's Filipino community, and Sergeant Wu has an encounter that he can't explain. Nard wasn't Aswang.
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 Aswang. An Aswang is it's a creature of the night. It's a fictional.
So it's kind of like Filipino vampire.
So, yes, it's kind of similar, and
okay.
And the face is supposedly like the face of a predator, and big teeth and everything, and very agile, goes through on top of roofs, and his extends tongues. He's got a tongue that extends so long that they try to victimize pregnant women, mm-hmm. because they have, you know, they have a fresh baby in their bellies, and they would extend the tongue from the roof all the way down, because supposedly the houses are nipa huts, or, you know,
yeah, they're thatch roofs. Yeah.
Yeah. So they would just bore a hole, and then they extend their tongue and try to go through the belly button of the mother.
Also, they get to the belly button and not the other end.
Yeah, not the other end. But in the TV show, that's what they did?
Yeah, that's what they did in the TV show. They went to the belly button.
Belly button?
Yeah.
I know. I haven't watched it, and I know what's going on, because I grew up with that myth.
Was these stories that your grandmother told you as a kid?
Yes. Okay. This is something that was told, a story in the Philippines. It's also, you know, growing up, it was also told to scare the population so they would not go out at night.
Because it was also to make your husband stay at home.
That too. And it's a fictional creature. And they always say, when was this? It was in the 80s, I think. They say they caught an aswang. Where is it? Okay. They caught it in the in this village. Really? Okay. Where's the picture? It was in the 80s, but in the 80s you have cameras.
And it's an Asian country with cameras.
That's right. I'm sure there are cameras.
Yeah.
Time back then.
Polaroids.
Polaroids even. Back then. I mean, it's just word of mouth. And nobody's really seen one.
Yeah. Kind of like Bigfoot.
Yeah.
So
then why do you claim that there is one? So, yeah. Aswang, that's a fictional character in the Philippines. Fictional creature. Fictional creature in the Philippines that tries to attack babies. Not babies. Okay. Pregnant women. Okay. So that's what they do.
Yeah, it was interesting because we were talking about it at dinner, and I learned some interesting history about the Philippines.
Yeah, it's something that many Filipinos who grew up in Manila or in the Philippines, even in the provinces actually, they would tell you the same story. They would. It's a there's another variation of it. That's the aswang. There's another one called manananggal, which is actually
the gay one that goes up the man's butt.
No, it's not. No,
oh.
It's another fictional creature that cuts his body in half and floats and attacks people. And then the body, the lower half, is standing somewhere else. And the way to, if you find one, you have to put salt in it so the manananggal cannot come back. So those are two fictional creatures, the manananggal and the aswang. So aswang is the one that crawls the roofs and tries to attack.
So if somebody took a goat and cut it in half and stood up next to a tree, everybody would think it was a manasguan?
Manananggal.
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 Manananggal. Anyway, so it's interesting. I should watch that episode.
Go watch that episode. It's pretty interesting. Yeah, so. Okay.
All right, Ray. So let's go on with some of our other topics here.
Well, our topics is a lot of entertainment this week, tonight, because we had a bunch of stuff happen this week.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Game of Thrones yet?
I am 37 minutes in.
Okay.
I haven't finished.
We're not going to give any spoilers. It's a good show. Mm-hmm. Didn't see no Hodo.
No Hodor.
No Hodor.
Uh-huh.
Hodo for the Hodor.
Okay.
Whatever. But it was a good opening episode, I thought. It caught everybody up to where we are.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody trying to watch it on demand last night crashed HBO's website, on HBO Go's website.
Yeah.
So
just that's how many people are watching it, I guess.
Yeah.
But then HBO Go, for you to have HBO Go, you have to have a subscription first from your cable company.
Yeah.
So it's not just like Netflix. Netflix, you just subscribe and you get online content. You have to be a Comcast subscriber or a DirecTV, or you have to have a subscription on
your cable. Yeah, you have to have subscribers
before you can actually. So,
and a lot of people go get their, who have friends that have HBO, they go get their logins and go watch it, watch stuff. So, so catch up on it. We'll talk about it more next week.
Okay.
We'll give everybody a chance because it was, you know, kind of a busy weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But something else that popped up at the end of Game of Thrones is a new show that HBO is premiering this summer. The Leftovers, a new high-concept series debuting on HBO in June based on Tim Poyata's novel of the same name, The Leftovers. Leftovers takes place in a world where a significant portion of the population has suddenly upped and vanished, a mystery that may or may not be linked to the biblical rapture.
Oh, that would, instead of left behind,
it's the leftovers. So, so it seems like that will be, so I might have to read that book between now and then. So if anybody's read it, let us know what you think about it. So, but it looks like that's going to be pretty good. That just popped up. They did like a little blurb of it at the end of Game of Thrones last night. So.
Oh, okay. I might be able to see it.
So, you haven't seen Captain America.
I haven't seen Captain America.
Right. I went and saw Captain America yesterday morning.
I pretty much know what's going to happen, so yeah.
And then, if anybody saw my Facebook post, they had Captain America, and then they had the Puerto Rican flag next to it, and because they look so much alike, they said, really, Captain Puerto Rico. So,
Capitán America.
So, I thought that was pretty funny that Captain America looks like Puerto Rico's flag. And
yeah.
It should be called Captain Puerto Rico.
Maybe back then. Was it some kind of a prequel? Or is it the present one? It's present. It's present time.
They jump into the past. So. But you need to watch it. I will say it. The first 20 minutes is a little slow just because they're trying to get going, tie everything in. But once it gets going, it's like on the edge of your seat type thing.
Okay.
So the whole time. And it's good to see. But from what I read today and what I remember seeing in the movie is these little things came across.
Mm-hmm.
There were 7 things that got put out there that could be new movies.
Oh, really?
That could be spinoffs. So,
like Nick Fury.
Nick Fury
has his own.
The whole in the comic books, there was a relationship between Steve Rogers and Black Widow, and they have a son.
Really?
So there was that whole sexual tension all through the movie. So that was kind of hinted.
They had sex.
So, well, no, that not in the movie, but. That's the whole thing. He's trying in the movie. I ain't gonna tell you anymore about it. But you know, there's these blurbs and stuff. But there is sexual tension between them during the whole movie. So,
really,
so it was pretty good though. I highly advise everybody to go see it. It was the top grossing movie this weekend. So,
But Captain America is 50 years older than her.
He's 90 years old.
90 years old.
Yeah,
90 and years old.
Early 30s.
That's right. So he's a cradle snatcher.
Yeah, he's a chicken hawk.
He's a chicken hawk.
True chicken hawk.
So. Okay. All right.
But Chris Evans is hot as ever in his little pumped up muscle.
As usual. So, how about this Star Wars Episode 7? Okay. Should I read this?
Yeah, read it.
Okay. Star Wars Episode 7 has started filming. Oh, I'm excited. Disney chairman says, although casting is not completely done, I'm sure they're not going to have the same ones, I guess.
Well, actually, most of the original cast is supposed to be there.
Yeah, I guess an older Carrie Fisher.
Han Solo, I mean, what's his name? Who played Han Solo?
Oh, George Harrison.
No, not George. Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford. Harrison.
But they're supposed to be there, and I think they might be filming all their scenes early, so in case one of them croaks or ODs before.
Oh, you know what?
Before next year.
Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker will have work again.
Yes.
I mean, he's...
besides being in C-rate TV shows and movies.
Oh, yeah. When is the last time you saw Mark Hamill?
He was in some TV show about 5 or 6 years ago, some sci-fi series.
You know, I do remember him. He was either the trickster or the prankster on The Flash. Remember that episode?
Oh, the original TV show.
Yeah, original TV show Flash.
And that's a while ago.
He was weird. He was wearing this jester costume, and the way to defeat the Flash, he would throw marbles on the floor. So of course, the Flash would run over the marbles, and it would be comedy. It would be comedy, and that's what he was doing. And he got away with crime and everything. But, yeah. One more thing, he was also in Guyver.
Oh, that's right. He was in Guyver.
That was so many years ago. Yeah. Wow. So anyway, so Star Wars Episode 7, the highly anticipated continuation of the 35-year-old Star Wars series, has already begun filming, according to Disney Studios chairman Alan Horn. The movie was previously expected to begin shooting in May, but in an interview with The Hollywood Reporter, Horn said that filming was already in progress. He said that the script, which at one point had to be completely revised by director J.J. Abrams, was finally on the right track. It's all about the screenplay. It has to be screenplay, 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 he said. When asked if the script was where it needed to be, he added, it actually is now. He also revealed the casting of the movie was almost complete. Wow. We'll see what happens to that. I'm excited to see that. Okay.
Well, the theory is that it picks up 30 years after.
So Han Solo and Princess Leia
had the twins.
So yeah,
and they're estimating that it's about the twins, one to go into the dark and one going to the light.
Oh really?
So that's the estimate of what they are thinking the script's going to be about.
That's different from how it was with the Timothy Zahn books. Did you read the Timothy Zahn books before?
Yes, but I got to be so many of them I quit reading them.
Oh, okay,
but yeah. I remember they had twins and
one child, and one younger.
And then there's a third one called Anakin, the youngest one, and he was the one that was going to the dark side or something. I got it, that was like 10, 15 years ago, the last time I read those. So
yeah.
All right, next, for people of a certain age, namely mine and Maynard's age, you will appreciate this: the Goonies sequel to confirm by director Richard Donner. There's going to be a Goonies 2, people.
Oh my God, Shannon!
Director hopes to reunite Corey Feldman, Josh Brolin, Sean Astin, and Jeff Cohen in a follow-up cult 80s children's adventure. Donner told gossip site TMZ that he hoped to bring back all the stars of the original film for the follow-up. That would mean a return of the actors such as Corey Feldman, Josh Brolin, Sean Astin, and Jeff Cohen, whose lives have taken diverse paths since the 1985 movie. Feldman, who has for years been the biggest cheerleader for Goonies 2, is a reality star and singer and aka
in ska band,
as well as an occasional actor. Brolin and Austin retain Hollywood careers, and Cohen Chunk is an entertainment lawyer. Imagine that. So,
Sean Astin, we're going to see him naked.
So,
no, we're not. I don't know.
You want to see Sean Astin naked? You've seen pictures of him naked. They've been on the internet before.
Well, I think he lost a lot of weight too. There's one time he's wearing a Speedo in one TV show. Yeah, it was pretty sexy. Yeah.
He looked like he was well endowed too, if I remember correctly.
Really? Sean Astin?
I think so.
Oh my God. I have to see this picture.
So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so on entertainment, we have to say goodbye to some very famous entertainers, I should say. People in the entertainment industry.
Yes. Mickey Rooney died this week and passed. And John Pinette. So, do you remember him?
I don't remember John Pinette much.
He was a very heavy set comedian. And he was on a bunch of movies and a bunch of shows as the comic Fat Guy Relief.
Mm-hmm.
And you go look at his picture, you remember him.
So. Okay, probably will. But I know Mickey Rooney. I grew up with a lot of Mickey Rooney movies.
Yes.
Watching some of the old ones, and it was kind of funny. At some point, I kind of thought he was cute because he was, you know, chubby and before. And he always played a Chinese big-toothed man in some of the comedy shows that he did, comedy movies that he did. I believe that's what he did, but with an accent and everything.
Yeah.
I remember that.
So he was the original Crypto Jail.
Yes.
You're so sparkly. Okay.
So anyway, very sad that we lost. He did live a long age. 92.
So he's been around for a while. So
It's 90 plus.
And he entertained a lot of people. I mean, he grew up in an era when World War II is happening and all this stuff, and he came in when television came along and movies were really kicking off and going into full speed, and mm-hmm. Hollywood was really getting big. So
yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, another death in the LGBT community is actually somebody who I know personally. His name is Louis Tice. He died at the very young age of 44. Here's a short blurb that I got from the website, from a website. Louis Tice, a longtime champion of the LGBT cinema, who worked as a publicist, producer, film critic, and film festival programmer, died Tuesday at 44. Tice had executive producer credits on Blood for Irina and Bear City, and he also helped launch Latter Days, another gay movie, and Mysterious Skin for TLA releasing. Throughout his career, Tice worked at Sundance, the Chicago International Film Festival, Frameline, and over 20 other fests. So this is from Variety.com. Okay, so a little bit of history with me of me and Louis Tice. Louis is a very nice guy, very, very accommodating. I got to meet him through another friend of ours from Austin. So I got to talk to Louis. Louis, I asked him, Louis, can I? I would like to do an interview with Malcolm Ingram and Doug Langway, if we can have them on the podcast. So, on a 2010 episode of Bear Podcast, around March back then, I was able to interview Malcolm Ingram, and we talked about Bear Nation, the documentary that he was doing. And I also got to talk to Doug Langway, who is the director of Bear City. It was the first Bear City movie back then. And without Louis, I wouldn't have got connected with these guys. So I could. So thank you, Louis, for all you do, all you did for the LGBT community, and for helping me, helping the show, helping the podcast, and you've touched so many lives. Thank you, Louis. And may rest in peace.
Now on to events. If your Bear group or organization is having an event, you can send it to us at events@bearpodcast.com. Mm-hmm. Phoenix Fur Fest Retro Weekend, Thursday, May 1st, 2014, for 4 days in Phoenix, Arizona, United States. Join the Bears of the West for Fur Fest Retro Weekend. Enjoy the fun in the sun, a chance to meet new friends, and explore what Phoenix has to offer. Phoenix Fur Fest has been around for 11 years. The theme Retro Weekend, a retro disco party for bears and admirers to escape from our paper-pushing lives and break out the platforms and disco ball party with some fellow bears. Registration for Fur Fest 2014 will be accepted November 1st, 2014 through April 30th, 2014, or until 200 bears have registered. And you can register at www.phurfest.org. That's furfest.org. And that's fur spent with a PH, people.
Now it's time for the gay, the geek, and the bizarre. And the first article for the gay. Did you see this? You saw this, right?
I posted this.
You posted this, right?
I posted this. Where do you think you got it from?
Okay, all right. I'll read it because it applies to me. And some of these, you know, it's home.
Well, I posted it and David responded to some of it, and somebody responded, David, you're gay. Yes, Devin's gay.
Devin is the gay.
And he shaves.
Okay, here we go. 13 things you need to know about your gay Asian friend. Okay. Number one, he shaves. No one is born with flawless porcelain skin. We all got flaws and body hair. Maybe some are hair-free, but others have to get the job done. Hello, waxing. And his Facebook profile picture, yes, it's Photoshop.
Yes.
Not all of them, but some, yeah.
No.
I don't Photoshop my pictures.
Most Asians do, though. Wayne, would you like to comment on this? Wayne?
Probably Wayne would. Number two, he does not always have to wear a bow tie.
I've never seen you wear a bow tie, I don't think.
Never, but Palima did.
Palima did, that's right.
Palima, yeah, the picture over there. That's right.
And is Wayne, did Wayne ever wear bow ties?
No, I've never seen Wayne wear a bow tie. But yeah, no, now they don't always wear a bow tie. Okay. So okay, I got that he is super cute and he dresses up. But once in a while, it's okay for you to support him wearing a tie. Yeah. So yeah, not always. Number three, he does not eat cats. I do not eat cat myself. No.
Dog though.
He does not eat snakes, dogs, or copper wires. Get real, people. That's what I'm saying. Next, number four, he does not understand what chong ching pong pong mean. And you know, when people try to minimize, oh, ching chong, ching chong.
Yeah.
They don't understand that. There's no such words. So, yeah, you could be speaking in English or Russian or French or Indian and whatever. And yeah, he doesn't speak Martian. Okay. This, I don't know if it's...
This is one I had an issue with.
Really? He is not a potato queen. Oh, I was wrong.
Go ahead.
Okay. Maybe he likes Indian men. Curry queen. Maybe blacks, or maybe he is a sticky rice. Maybe he likes
blacks, is that red beans and rice?
No, I don't know. I think it's chocolate queen. I don't know what
you call chocolate it. Chocolate queen, yeah.
Or maybe he is a sticky rice. Maybe he likes anyone who has a dick. Just because you saw him stalking your hot white friend online does not mean all he likes are white men. Hitler was white. No one will want to do him. Yeah, so I'm just saying. Yeah. So what do you say about that, Ray?
I don't know. If Asians and the Bears, they're potato queen.
They're potato queen.
Sorry.
That's what I think. That's why some of these we do not agree with, okay? So most of the time,
if Asians are into Latinos, it's Spanish rice.
It's Spanish rice. So okay,
it's no. Burrito it's, queen.
Oh, taco queen. Burrito taco queen. Yeah. Okay, so I was talking to a friend of mine. Oh God, this was many, many years ago in the Asians and Friends community. So you're there. It's always it's an Asian guy and a white guy. Mm-hmm. Always.
Well, at Asians and Friends, it's old white guys and Asians.
Yes, that's right.
Real old white guys.
Some. Some are like that. Some are the same age. But anyway, the point is, there was one who attended our activities and he wanted the Asian guys.
Sticky rice.
It's a real sticky rice guy. And of course, one of the guys who are, you know, a real potato queen. Oh my God, that's incestuous. Oh my God. I can't believe that's impossible. That can't happen. What do you mean that can't happen? It can happen. I know some sticky rice people. What can I say?
Well, I've seen sticky rice porn. It's not that exciting, but I think it'd be much more exciting live.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Wait, you don't like sticky rice porn? No?
Nah, it's usually kind of goofy and stupid looking.
Really?
Yes.
So for straight guys, they love watching two girls going at it.
Yeah.
But as a rice queen... Two Asian guys going at it, it's not hot.
No, just, I mean, usually it's not two really hot Asian guys honestly going down on each other.
So if it's a white guy and an Asian guy going at it.
I've seen a couple of those. They were pretty hot.
That's pretty hot. Okay. Oh, I see now, because you kind of picture yourself on the white guy.
Well, no, and the Asian on Asian is just kind of boring.
Is it boring?
It's just boring.
Oh, yeah, there are some boring videos that I've seen before by accident. No.
Right.
How do you watch porn by accident? Okay. It is not always small.
I will agree on that one.
That's true.
That is true.
That is true. Not all Asian guys have small penises. It depends. Some are big. Like really big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We know one with really big one.
Yeah. I know some too. Okay. So, he does not know martial arts sex. What is that?
Some of them do.
What does that mean? You
like, I guess it just means they're really kinky and stuff.
Very kinky or very acrobatic.
I guess that means they don't backflip off the end of the bed
and then
land on your dick.
Okay. That's impressive, but...
Impressive, but I don't think it really happens.
I don't think that happens. Okay.
I think that's like bad early 70s Chinese porn movies.
Mm-hmm. He poses way too much.
Yes, they do. Oh, wait. Let's take a selfie. Oh, that's
right. Yeah, he posts way too much. Selfies, especially now, it's a lot of selfies, people. Yeah.
And they take too much, way too many pictures of food and post them on Facebook. I'm just saying, Devin and Wayne.
That's right.
I know it's y'all's way to attract the bears to you, to bring the food out and entice them and drive them in, but some of us trying to lose weight. We don't need to see all that.
Mm-hmm. He does not give a fuck about K-pop. What is K-pop? I don't even know what that is.
I have no idea. Unless, wasn't K-pop, wasn't that Britney's husband?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
So, see?
Any Asians in the lingo, tell us what K-pop is, because we're too
I can Google it right now.
Apparently, we're too old to know what the hell that is, but okay, anyway.
But I'm not. Okay, he won't go shopping with you in Chinatown.
Now, why not? If you can haggle and get me a better price, let's go.
That's right. And he said he's not doing it anymore. Wait a second. Okay, we always go to dim sum,
mm-hmm.
and we always try to get, you know, a Chinese guy with us because it's helpful.
That's right. So we don't not up in there ordering Fear Factor food, not knowing what it is.
Yeah.
Some of it's very obvious, and then some of it's like, oh, that looks good, and then you're like, oh, it's octopus anus or something. It's like.
You know what? I'm going to isolate those audio that you made. Say it again. Octopus anus.
Octopus anus.
Okay. Next is scared of his mother. I guess I am.
Yeah.
You think I am? What she's going to do next?
A couple I know they are. They're either scared of their mother or they bitch about them all the time.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, Terry.
Let him watch the show. Okay. No, he is definitely not going as Pikachu with you at Comic-Con. Did you dress... Wait a second. You dressed up. What did the... remember when you dressed up at Comic-Con?
Yeah. I dressed up as Alpha Bear and my sidekick dressed up as Chaser.
Chaser Kid?
Chaser Boy.
Yeah.
Oh, Boy Chaser or something like
Boy
that.
Boy Chaser.
That was a long time ago.
Okay. Last one. He will make the best drag queen ever. What do you think?
I've seen you in drag. I have to say yes on that.
Oh my God, no!
If we could get Wayne to shave,
yeah, he would be an awesome.
And get him some makeup and some fierce outfits. He would make a cool drag queen.
That's right.
Canyon, work with me.
Yeah, we'll work with Canyon about that. So yeah, that's the article about Asians. I just thought it's a good topic for us to talk about. Okay, so I'm sure there's lots of chasers out there watching this and may have something to say. Anyway, okay, let's go to the geek rave.
Okay, the future of wearable devices will be human-centric.
In what way?
Let's read the article.
Okay.
As we move into an era where we are increasingly dependent on our devices, even being without your phone for a few hours can feel rather disorientating. Yes, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine that same scenario 10 years from now when these same technologies are even further embedded into the fabric of our lives. Isn't that a commercial? Science fiction novels and works of pop culture play out these promising and often scary scenarios. But in reality, humans are rapidly leveraging the advantages in computational size, processing speed, and sensor technology to augment our natural abilities. What shifts are driving the next wave of technological developments?
Mm-hmm.
As I sit here and get tongue-tied. Mm-hmm. As we approach the year 2020, the size of computational power begins to approach zero, and you can turn anything into a computer. You don't have to ask yourself, can you do it? Can you augment your clothes or your body? The question becomes, what do you want to do and why do you want to do it? It's not just one chip or device. It's a bunch of devices working together, devices that are your purse, own, or in your person.
And very soon it's going to be in your wrist.
Yeah, the whole hand thing.
Or the hand thing. Where was that? What movie was that? Total Recall?
Total Recall, the remake, where the phone was embedded in the hand.
Yeah. Next thing you know, it's just ringing.
And they just took it, and you could take it and put it up against any glass, and then you could get video and stuff. It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But the whole embedding thing, I don't know about that. So, but it's still cool.
It's the mark of the devil.
But also think in 20 years, think of some of the fabrics that have been invented in the last couple years.
Mm-hmm.
With Kevlar and some of the stuff. What if you can take it so it's your clothes can be chameleon-esque, so you can change your colors or stuff? Well, I mean, there's always been that thing in the future where the girls are sitting there in front of their closet and they're standing there and they change all these outfits and then all of a sudden they hit a button and their outfit changes into that.
That'd be interesting, but what about men?
Well, I mean, imagine what if you could get a like maybe three or four pairs or like a jumpsuit type thing, or not a jumpsuit but a unitard, and you can make it look like anything. So you could have all kind of designer clothing that looks anything, but you're under the comfort of a unitard that keeps your body at the normal temperature, keeps the sweat pulled away so you don't sweat that much, keeps you warm when it's cold, cool when it's hot.
There's a problem with that, though.
What?
Hackers.
Well,
if you're walking around wearing a very fancy design.
Well, then Symantec will love it. Symantec for your clothes.
Yes, you need Norton antivirus.
Or McAfee for your clothes. McAfee. Every time you go to do something with your clothes, your McAfee.
Somebody's going to go near you and tap you like that, and then it would override your settings, and your clothes become a pumpkin or ragged clothes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is the ultimate goal of these technology-related experiences? The relationship that you have with your technology is no longer command and control. It doesn't mean it's a human relationship, but only that your technology will know you and understand you. The question is, how we use this technology to only make people more productive, but to make them healthier, happier, and entertain them more. If we set the bar at that height, we will come up with awesome technology, but we'll also be able to do so much more. Ultimately, the goal is to use the technology to make people's lives better. Now, think about this.
Okay.
And I'm trying to remember the movie that it was in. And I think it was a Tom Cruise movie, where as you walk down the street, specific billboards popped up to sell you stuff.
Minority Report.
Okay, so it was the right one. So imagine that's already starting to happen if you look at Google. I mean, if you're on Google and you're doing stuff, all these related searches pop up over here say, oh, you're looking for stoves? Well, we got all this stuff over here. But imagine as it gets more and more specific, like Facebook's getting more and more specific about what they'll put on your page to see because of your name or different things that you look at.
Actually, Roy, what you're talking about there, it's really actually happening even right now.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
It's called iBeacon. If you have your phone with you, though, it detects the vicinity, or if you go inside an Apple store, it knows where you are in the room, and it can show you ads. I guess if they have the appropriate screen in front of you, it could show you ads and everything. I mean, potentially that could happen using iBeacon technology, and that's available now. It's actually available now, what you're talking about. This Minority Report can happen now. Although in Minority Report, Tom Cruise had his eyes replaced.
Yeah.
Because that's the way they did the identification in Minority Report. They had to scan your retina. So what he did was to had his eyes replaced.
Well, they also had a chip embedded in his bone, in his rib cage that he cut out. That's where they could track him and see and it linked up to all the advertisement and stuff.
Oh, no. I thought it was the eyes. They were scanning his eyes.
Well, I don't know. I remember him cutting something out of his rib cage. Yeah, that was a while ago. Anyway.
But anyway, so yeah, okay. That's what happens.
Talk to us more about this idea of relational computing. As humans, what we're really good at is relationships. We've had scientists who have been studying human relationships for far longer than computer scientists have been studying computers. So we got this deep, rich area of knowledge that we can tap into for our requirements. You have to know who a person is, that they exist in a culture and a relationship, and that way it becomes very personal. That's very inherent to us as human beings. Being an optimist, I think having a relationship-based interaction with technology could actually make this interaction much more human. So take it to what we were just talking about advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Say you go somewhere and your personal device knows that you like a certain type of coffee or tea. It knows this place has it. It says, hey, you can get your tea here. You can get your coffee here.
That's happening now too, right?
Yeah, you know, you get in your car and your car automatically knows on warm days you like it cool in the car, so it automatically drops the temperature without you having to tell it and stuff like that. So instead of just setting a temperature and stuff. Mm-hmm. Eventually your cars, you know, you can set program cars so you hit button one and the steering wheel and foot pedals and stuff moved. Eventually it's just going to be able to tell by you getting in the car.
Well, it's happening right now when you go in the car. It detects your keys
and starts.
And so you start the car.
Yeah.
And some people are like that now. And right now, especially now with CarPlay. With CarPlay that right now on the high-end cars have it.
Yeah.
and you just go in, and I think, I don't know if you hook up your phone or you Bluetooth enable or Bluetooth pair it to the car, and it your iDevice connects to the CarPlay, and it could use the Pandora or the music or the maps of it.
Does that. I mean, I just
your
have
phone,
put,
yeah, your
yeah,
already
just have
does
to
that.
Get the app on my phone when I get in the car and plug it in, and everything's connected. So
yeah, I like that better than actually having any kind of other subscription.
Well, I think eventually all cars are going to have cell phones built into them. Well, most of them have the OnStar stuff now, mm-hmm. type devices, but all that's going to be built into cars because they're going to have to. As cars get more automated and can do more driving on their own, they're going to have ways to communicate with each other, and I think that's going to be it. Mm-hmm. But it's also going to give it so you can watch HBO and Go in your car, mm-hmm. on your projected up on your windshield or something. As things get more and more progressive, and
actually, there's a study about that on. I'm now listening to a podcast called The Daily Tech News Show, starring who's got Tom Merritt on it. He's talking about. You pay $17 for 500 megabytes a month for a car installation for 4G LTE. And it can do the maps for you and the updates, on-the-air updates, stuff like that. And mapping, like what you just said. It's a proposal right now. I think not so many cars, or I don't know if there's any car that has it right now. But you pay $17. I don't think I'll do that. I would rather have my phone, which I already have gigabyte service, and I'll just hook it up.
But you got, but the most same people, as yours. But most people anymore, $17. That's a couple cups of coffee a week.
Yeah, that's true.
So I mean, that's nothing.
But it's $17 for 500 megabytes.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's just because your car is online.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's even visible. So
I did like my Saturn because I had an app that I could go and it would tell my car and say, hey, I'm doing fine this morning. Everything's good. Mm-hmm. Now my oil's all right. My air pressure's good. So, how does this relate to augmenting our bodies? Remember, humans have been augmenting themselves with tools for centuries. Our tools become an extension of ourselves, are imbued with our humanity, our sense of values, and our culture. If these tools start going into our bodies, we start to understand them better, and this means that they're making our lives better. Now, whether these tools are fixing what's been lost, or they're enhancing something that we need them to, and giving us things that we couldn't have given us before. Some of that's health, but also is self-expression. Think about tattoos. It's a form of self-expression. At one end, you have a paraplegic or a quad augment. Think about tattoos. There's no reason for somebody to take ink and put it inside of their bodies under their skin. It's a form of self-expression. Got it straight. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I was jumping. At one end, you have a paraplegic or a quadriplegic use technology to make their lives better. But at the other end, you have somebody who's putting a tattoo on their body as a form of self-expression. Is this a great range of self-expression? Mm-hmm. So, but also look at this, talking about tattoos. One of the things that you always see on the sci-fi movies, girls could always sit there and just change the color of their nails by dipping a pen, just touching mm-hmm. the nail, and it would change because they had fake fingernails and it was reacted to whatever they told it to do. Mm-hmm. But imagine if you could do fake tattoos that you could change the designs on.
Yeah. Actually, right now, there are some, I believe I heard it on Buzz Out Loud. I can't remember. It's another new show that I was listening to. It's actually, like you said, it's a tattoo, but it's got RFID. So it's like your Easy Tag.
Yeah.
Because inside an Easy Tag in your cars, if you're in Houston, you have an Easy Tag. It's just a really small chip in it. Mm-hmm. They even have it really, really small that it's just almost like a speck that it can be used on tattoos. And it's embedded in your skin. Okay. So that's pretty good too. I mean,
what
that's
do they
one
use it for?
For any kind of RFID that you can use it. I mean, I think I don't know if it's a prototype right now. As far as I know, this is what I heard. You have a temporary tattoo or a real tattoo, and embed an RFID on it. So you just walk by a RFID scanner, it detects the number, and then it would go to a database and pull up your information. Yeah.
Okay.
So
look at how we're trying to automate our homes now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd love to be able to get out of my car with two bags of groceries and walk up to the door and it automatically unlock and open for me. without having to touch keys or take a key out and turn it.
Now, if, for that to happen, you have to have Star Trek doors.
Not necessarily. I mean, their doors are card keyed now, and you can have badges that you wear that they read and stuff. It's just, it's still kind of cumbersome technology.
Yeah. But I would like it, you know, Star Trek.
Well, they're at automatic doors that open already for handicapped people stuff, so that's all you need is the opening mechanism.
Well, I guess.
And a way for it to detect who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some keychains now that have electronic locks on them, you just have to wave your key next to the door and it'll automatically unlock. So
that should be available now, right?
That's available now. It's expensive, but it's available. But I mean, I like it so when you walk into your house, it knows what time of day it is.
That's
when
exactly
you get
what
home
you...
in the afternoon, it sets the mood, cuts your music on. All
I remember
this kind of
now
stuff.
You said this. I saw this at Lowe's. They have those already.
Yeah.
They're either you do use a
keypad
or you use your iPhone or you use a mobile app and you can unlock your car, unlock your door.
And they're integrating more and more stuff into houses every day. The newer the house, the more they integrate. So, so it'd be interesting to see.
I'd like to buy one of those.
Okay, on to bizarre. I'll let you take the phallics and the Asians.
Okay, here we go. It's another Japan thing.
You can't say penis.
Japan's annual penis festival.
What is it, penis?
What are you, like 12-year-old? Japan's annual penis festival is as phallic as you'd expect, and there are photos for this. Each spring, people flock to Kawasaki, Japan, to celebrate Kanamara Matsuri, also known as the Festival of the Steel Phallus.
Is Viagra a sponsor of this event?
Yeah, maybe. Or the Japanese version.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Viagra's everywhere.
Yeah, I know. Held this year on April 6th. Oh, last Sunday. Yesterday. The festival is a celebration of the penis and fertility. People parade gigantic phallic-shaped mikoshi, portable Shinto shrines, down the streets during the event as revelers suck on penis lollipops, buy penis-themed memorabilia, and pose with sculptures in the shape of, you guessed it, penises. According to the BBC, the festival is believed to have roots in the 17th century, when prostitutes are said to have prayed for protection from sexually transmitted infections at Kawasaki's Kanamara Shrine. Today, the festival reportedly raises awareness about safe sex practices and fundraises for HIV prevention. So that's from the Huffington Post.
So interesting that you bring this up, because yesterday I was sitting there watching TV, and it was facts of, and I think it's like facts of the Bible or truth of the Bible and stuff. And the whole episode was on sex in the Bible.
Oh, really?
And the, talking about penises and stuff.
Oh.
And it was pretty interesting.
What is this, History Channel? What is this?
It was on the History Channel, yes. So it was pretty interesting listening to it and have them talk about the stuff and bringing out certain things in the Bible and saying, okay, this is what it meant then. And this is where this came from. So, but it's quite an interesting little show. So I started recording it because they have different ones. They talk about different things in the Bible and they explain it and say, okay, this is what it meant then and this is what's happening now. So
yeah, that's why it needs
to be. Like one of the
things,
a rabbi can never marry a prostitute. And the rabbi that actually talked about it said, well, there's a law about it, so that means somebody was doing it.
Definitely.
So, but that was the whole thing is back then the whole thing was to make, when you married a woman and she had a child, you wanted to make sure that was your child because the whole Jewish thing is about lineage.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, you know, if the wife was out messing around or she was a prostitute, is that your child? So that was the whole
thing. They're all concerned about lineage.
So that's what, but it's a very interesting show if you get to watch it.
Okay.
So.
All right. So before we end the show,
well, we'd like to, we hope you enjoyed our April Fool's show and April Fool's show last week. I was actually on the show. I was sitting here while him and Dave are recording the show.
We were recording
and I was trying to not laugh and make fun of them because they were saying such hateful things about me and being really mean to me while sitting in the room. But the
was right behind the camera.
I was right
actually,
behind the camera, and I was trying to keep quiet and not say anything because Dave said a couple of things. I had to bite my tongue to keep from saying stuff. But it was April Fool's show. I don't think there's anything that come between me and Nard that bad that I couldn't talk to him about it.
No.
So, or we couldn't work it out. So.
Somebody actually, David, shout out David. He's another David from the Surfers softball team. the Bear team. Anyway, he said, oh, what's happening? What's happening? He was reading the comments and oh, it's an April Fool's joke. He got it.
Yeah.
Because if we started talking about RuPaul, we fought over a RuPaul episode the night before. So yeah. That was his.
So, but anyway, Dave left a comment on episode 512 and referring to me not being on the show anymore. It will be bigger and better than ever. Dave, you've been telling your trick set for years. It's time for you to get a new line. Really. So.
He has to use the new line for this coming weekend.
Yeah, yes. That's right. He's gonna be there. Y'all gonna be in drenched fur.
Yes, I'm excited.
So, we also have listener comments, and I guess I can take this one since it's directed at me. And Deliverance 72, wherever you are, I assume you're in Georgia since you're talking about Deliverance.
Deliverance 72.
So, okay. I would try to reconcile with Ray. Something tells me he's going through something he can't handle alone and doesn't think he can share. I've been getting vibes from him on several shows. I think it's serious. I've been watching long enough to see changes in his personality.
Really?
Really?
Have you been changing your personality?
Well, I have been going through some stuff, and Maynard's been fully aware of it. And we started to talk about it on the show when it happened months ago. But we didn't, because I decided at the last minute to talk to you because I wasn't ready to talk about it. But most of my close friends know that Robbie and I broke up in January, end of January. Mm-hmm. And I actually come up and stayed with Nard. He graciously let me stay up here for a few days until we could figure things out. And me and Robbie decided to get back together. We decided to start going to couples therapy and individual therapy and working on things. And you know what? I realized that 99% of most issues that happen with couples that I never thought about in any of my past relationship, you know what it's all about?
What?
Communication.
Oh.
Just because you say something, message sent is not message heard.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you said it, the way the other piece, and it's been really opening up my eyes a lot the last couple months since we've been working on stuff, and they're talking about, you know, what we're unhappy about, what we have, you know, what we like about the relationship, how we respond to each other. And I'm a very silent person. I mean, I don't talk that much,
You don't talk that much?
Well, on the show, I do. I mean, that's one of the things that we've talked about is that me being a wine, I'm like more like the person on the show. And I'm like, well, this is a show.
Yeah.
This is a part of me, but it's not all of me. I mean, I'm really quite outside the show. And when I'm not doing certain things, I'm pretty introverted and pretty quiet. And I'm just happy sitting in a chair watching TV all day. Mm-hmm. And that's the extent of my happiness. Mm-hmm. And making me happy. I mean, you don't have to do much more than that. And feed me good food. And Robbie is a very extroverted person and wants to talk all the time and yada, 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 and all this stuff. And that's just, you know, but just because you're talking to somebody else doesn't mean what you're saying is they're hearing, and what you want them to hear, they're not hearing it. So it has been some up and down months, and it's been rough. And there've been some times that I'm sure me and Robbie were wanting to kill each other, but you know, that's all about being in a relationship and working things out. So. Yeah. So whoever you are, Deliver 72, I'm glad you're perspective enough to pick up on things going on. Mm-hmm. And yes, some weeks are harder than others, but things are much better now. And they continuously get better as time goes on. So I'm looking forward to a long, happy relationship with Robbie.
Yay!
So,
see?
Happy whether ending. He wants one or not.
Oh, okay. Right. Thank you again, Deliverance 72. I do a few shout-outs. You know what? I've always read him as Yuzu, but what's his name again? He lives in Joe. Joe, okay. It's been a long time I haven't seen him. So
is he going to be at Drench Fur this year?
I don't know. Maybe.
Joe, you going to be at Drench Fur?
Didn't he
with
move?
With your new haircut?
Mm-hmm.
So y'all think I don't pay attention on Facebook.
Yeah. Okay, so there's a lot of...
Jasons?
Yeah, giant Jasons. A lot of... okay, so shout outs to people who responded to our... to our April Fool's Day joke show. Jason H., Shane, Christopher H., Carl, Chris H., Orlin, Dan, Arctic from Connecticut, Jay, Franklin. Oh, yeah, by the way, Franklin, yes. My folks call me Nard. It's short for something, okay? So, remind me to listen to this.
Arvin, I remember, because I commented on that.
I know.
Because I was like, I know, you're right. Who would want to call the child Nard?
Arvin, of course, Deliverer 72, and Gary Snyder from Erie, Pennsylvania. We're going to see him this weekend at the Drench Fur. So thanks for commenting on our April Fool's joke.
Yes. And I hope everybody understands. We were just joking. I mean, me and Maynard Maynard's like my brother and me. So we were just having a good time. It was April Fool's.
It was his idea. It's Ray's idea. I had to act. Like, I was all serious. Like, what was he doing?
Oh, they were loving it. Especially Dave.
Yeah.
And all you bitches at Summit, well, better to see Dave on there. Well, bite it. Just bite it.
Okay. Happy birthday to Ryan from Toronto. And thank you for those awesome extra videos that you posted lately. So...
I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know? I wouldn't know. You don't go extra anymore? Anyway, so Ryan is also our video editor. We did last week. Actually, after we did the April Fool's show.
We did a dance video.
We did a dance video. We did a scary music video.
Three white boys trying to dance Tom Maynard.
Yeah, that's right. And it's actually posted. I haven't put it posted it on public yet. And we were singing a song called Walk, Walk, Walk. And... we were doing a music video and we were doing the choruses and everything, and that's what we did last week after we recorded the full show.
Mm-hmm. With only 5 minutes to rehearse, people.
5 minutes to rehearse. We only did two takes, right?
I know. And it's just like, what are we doing, man?
Anyway, so that's it. That's the show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. It's a very long, very long show. So if you want to contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
Or you can give us a call at 206-222-2333.
You screwed up. Is that on purpose again?
Yes, I did that on purpose. Okay. You can give us a call at 206-222-BEAR. Give us a call, leave us a message on the voicemail, and we'll play it on the show. Deliverance, call in and say hi.
Okay. I like his name, Deliverance.
Screw you, Dave.
Subscribe via iTunes, Vimeo, and YouTube, and you can listen to the show on Stitcher Radio, on the Roku Player, and the Bear Radio Network. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Thank you, everyone, for watching and listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. Many wolves and many hugs.
Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear.
So that's the problem with this. It doesn't load the web.
It doesn't like taking your load, Maynard. Hang on up. I got to finish my notes. Bear Podcast, episode 513. Bear Podcast, 513, Bear Podcast.
In this episode of Bear Podcast, Ray constructs the...
ah,
the Taj Mahal.